Broadcasting live to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, SiriusXM Channel 119, and to the financial capital of the world, Bloomberg 1130. This is Taking Stock.
I'm Kathleen Hayes along with Michael McKee. Our eyes are popping. Mine certainly are as I watch my Bloomberg terminal screen and see the Dow is now down 2.6%, the NASDAQ more than 3%. The sell-off that we've been talking to you about now for the last couple of days has really picked up steam, and we're going to be taking an in-depth look at all the factors driving it, and if it's possible that after such a sharp move, we're getting a little bit closer to a bottom, an entry point for people to buy, or if this will continue. And Michael, as you know, we have a very special guest to do that for the next half hour.
Jim Paulson of Wells Capital, like me, he's seen these sorts of things come and go, and I talked with him earlier, and we're both relatively sanguine about what might happen. We'll get his reasoning when we talk to him in just a few moments. But first, the always calm Charlie Pellett.
All right. Thank you very much, Michael McKee and Kathleen Hayes. We are looking at 29 minutes to go before the close of trading on this Friday. For the week, the S&P 500 index has declined 5.3%. Today, the S&P is down 2.8%, dropping 56 points right now to 1978. The S&P below 2000. NASDAQ is down 154 points. That is a drop of 3.2%. 4722 on the NASDAQ Composite Index. Dow Industrials down 465 points, a drop there of 2.7%. So the Dow, the S&P, NASDAQ all trading very close to the worst level of the session. Oil moving below $40 a barrel today for the first time in more than 6 years on signs the glut of crude will be prolonged. Francisco Blanch is head of global commodity research at Merrill Lynch. He was interviewed today on Bloomberg Television.
I mean, it's hard to say whether we're going to see a floor here or not, but I would say that over the next 3 or 4 weeks, we should find a floor. And probably we'll be in a bit of a rebound phase into year end as we head into the winter. So I would say that probably the next few weeks is the right time to start buying into dips, and then kind of expect maybe a $5 to $10 rally heading into year end. That's our expectation right now.
And we do have West Texas Intermediate trading lower by 2.5%, back above $40 now, 40.31 on WTI. 10-year up 7/32, yield 2.04%. Now the other stories making news with Catherine Cottery.
Thank you, Charlie. This news update is brought to you by Rapid7. Rapid7 cybersecurity solutions designed to reduce the risk of breach, detect and respond to attacks, and build more effective cybersecurity programs. More at rapid7.com. A spokesman for France's Interior Ministry says three people were wounded in a shooting on a high-speed train traveling from Amsterdam to Paris today. He added that a suspect is in custody and the train has been evacuated. The motivation for the attack is unknown. The Associated Press has learned that U.S. government employees with sensitive jobs in national security or law enforcement were among hundreds of federal workers found to be using government networks to access and pay membership fees to the cheating website Ashley Madison. The list includes at least two assistant U.S. attorneys, an information technology administrator in the White House's support staff, and a Justice Department investigator. New York City police say a woman pushed, scratched, and bit a subway rider who tried to sit in a seat that had her bag on it. The alleged subway rage occurred aboard a Manhattan-bound F train from Queens last Friday. The victim was taken to a hospital. Get more on these and other breaking stories 24 hours a day at thenewbloomberg.com. From the Bloomberg Newsroom, I'm Catherine Cowdery. Charlie?
And we thank you, Catherine. Her next update coming up in just under 30 minutes. And we are brought to you by National Realty. 30% returns on cash in rented real estate. Find them at nria.net. Recapping, new low for the Dow Jones Industrial Average, now down 482 points, a drop there of 2.9%. S&P slumping 59 points, a drop of 2.9%. The NASDAQ Composite Index down 160 points, a drop there of 3.3%. 26 minutes to go before the closing bell. I'm Charlie Pellett, and that's a Bloomberg Business Flash.
You're listening to Taking Stock with Michael McKee and Kathleen Hayes on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, it's certainly prudent to downplay the big downdraft we've seen in stocks this week, but if you're sitting on a portfolio of stocks and wondering what to buy, what to hold, and when this will end, it's certainly good to get some idea of what is driving it. We have a terrific story on the Bloomberg Terminal today. Teetering U.S. stocks add new dimension to global sell-off by Adam Hay and Camilla Russo, and they quote a chief investment officer at Rail & Co. in Geneva, Francois Savory, saying that the drop in the S&P 500 is really showing that people are now questioning the rate of growth in the United States and mostly the impact of developments in China and currencies on the American economy. I think that really sums up why it's so important not to just shrug this off, but try to figure out what's going on. And who better to do that than Jim Paulson? He's chief investment strategist and economist at Wells Capital Management. So, Jim, quite a week, wouldn't you say?
Nice, boring summer doldrum day, huh?
No. Yeah, yeah. You don't, if you bought in May and or sold in May and went away, maybe you're wondering if you should have sold a little more before you left?
I think so. Yeah, well, you know, I just think the market, Kathleen, has just been in a vulnerable state quite a bit of the year.
And it just dumped the Dow now down, it was just down, Jim, it just printed down 501 points, 2.9. So I just wanted to throw that in there real quick.
Yeah, I think it intraday took out 10%, right, from the high. And I don't know if it'll close there, but that'd be a correction on the Dow. I guess I've been thinking the market has been vulnerable position. You know, it's just, it came in here. I think we've gone the third longest stretch in almost all of history in terms of 900 and some trading days without a correction, which just sort of spoke to the idea of how calm and complacent everyone's gotten. I'm even somewhat impressed, as much as we're off today, as fast as we're collapsing, how calm it seems. I mean, you do not see a super big safe haven rush to treasuries or a rush to the dollar, for example, or even gold. There's not a panic sense yet, at least. But, you know, you had calm sentiment. You had relatively high valuations. They were 18.5 times trailing earnings, close to 19 at the highs. We have had weak earnings trends all year long, and the earnings cycle's very mature. It's far past its best growth rate of this recovery, and is getting to be more of a challenge with profit margins already close to record highs. And we've got a great need to reset interest rates, which we still have, and I'm sure playing part of today malaise was the mindset leading up to, you know, we're getting very close to the Fed doing something about that. And then, you know, I kind of think too, as we near full employment, Kathleen, in this country, we're going to start to change some of the problems we're dealing with. And I still think over the next year, we're going to start dealing more with overheat, cost push, margin erosion, inflation sort of issues. That's going to be a play. So I think there's a host of things that probably created this today. You know, the China is the straw that broke the camel's back, but I'm not sure it's the entire cocktail that's behind this sell-off.
Not the entire camel. the history of this expansion and this bull market has been that when we see big sell-offs, and we've gotten to almost 10% a couple times, hadn't quite made it, then people come in and buy on the dip.
Yeah.
What's the sentiment out there about whether that strategy is still front and center for investors?
I think you're going to see that, Mike. I think you might be surprised. You might be seeing some of that today, even with people doing that. It's been so profitable for the last several years to, you know, have a pullback of 5 or 6% and buying on that, and then it rallies right back, and you can make some good money. I think it's a pretty strong sentiment. I think you're going to see some of that. We might even get a bounce here, you know, pretty soon for a while. But I'm kind of wondering if we're going to have that buying the dip and maybe have an initial success, and then it refails, and we truly do get a 10 to 15% correction. And at that point, there won't be anyone wanting to buy in that dip.
Well, what about the Fed? When they come into the market on the 17th of September, they go one way or the other. How's it going to impact this psychology?
Well, I guess my feeling on the Fed is the data between now and then coming out of the United States, I think it's going to be pretty good. We got a good sense of where that's at. Most of the data this month, we know, you know, it comes on the backdrop of an already good jobs number, and we got good retail numbers, good auto numbers, good housing numbers. We got weak manufacturing, but we know. I don't think there's anything to suggest the jobs number won't be okay again in another week or so. So that's not going to stop them. I think the only thing that prevents them from raising in September is if this current stock market collapse turns into a full-blown global financial panic, which is possible. You know, there's when you get into one of these, emotion can take over and make it a lot worse than it
would particularly
be.
When you have the emerging markets, it seems like you spy. It's a vicious cycle down potentially. U.S. stocks get worse. Emerging markets sell off some more, and it can feed on itself for a while. But I agree with you that it's that contagion potential that's going to worry the Fed.
Right, but I'll tell you what, Kathleen. If it's like today, and we are lower and sell off, and we regain our footing, and we don't have the panic rush to safe haven assets that you're not really seeing that today, then I think the Fed's going to go ahead and start the process in September. I think it's going to take a full blown panic to prevent that from happening.
Jim Paulson is with us from Wells Capital Management on the T-Mobile phone line. T-Mobile at work. Switch your business to the Un-carrier today. We'll continue our conversation with Jim and continue watching the markets. The Dow broke through a 500-point drop a few minutes ago, and now it's bouncing, 453, a 50-point gain in about 15 seconds.
So is the market ready to call it a correction, find its footing, and move higher? And if so, where do you want to be in U.S. stocks and stocks globally? That's next on Bloomberg Radio.
Business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Steep losses for stocks, the Dow, the S&P, NASDAQ, all moving lower. From Bloomberg World Headquarters, I'm Charlie Pellett. We have got 13 minutes to go before the close as we wrap up a brutal week for stocks, a volatile week. Lots of moving parts in this market right now with the S&P slumping 56 points. That is a drop of 2.73% to 1980. Stay with Bloomberg right through the close and beyond. NASDAQ down 148 points now, dropping 3% at 4730. Dow Industrials down 444 points, a decline of 2.6%. The Dow at 16,548. 10-year up 6/32, yield there 2.05%. West Texas Intermediate crude did trade below $40 a barrel, now at $40.24. It is down $1.08, dropping 2.6%. So the selling continues, recapping S&P down 54 points, a drop of 2.6%. Michael and Kathleen, that is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Dave Wilson, thank you very much.
And it is time now for our Bloomberg ETF report, taking a look at ETFs that hedge currencies with Catherine Cowdery.
ETFs that hedge against currency risk are losing a bit of their luster. They attracted $41 billion in the first 6 months of the year and have added just $5.9 billion since the end of June as a rally in the dollar slows. Rachel Evans wrote the story for Bloomberg News and says fund managers, including a Deutsche Bank unit and BlackRock, are turning to new strategies to attract more sophisticated investors.
The institutional investor has typically been slower to come into currency hedged ETFs because they have other options to hedge out currency risk, whereas a retail investor does not. So what's been happening with these latest ETFs is actually the fund providers have been going after this segment of the market and coming out with smarter funds that use alternative indexing to try and give them a bit more value added.
The number of ETFs that protect against currency risk has more than doubled in the past 12 months to 74. WisdomTree's Europe-hedged small-cap equity fund has attracted the most money among the currency-hedged ETFs that have launched this year. It has $217 million in total assets and trades under the symbol EUSC. That's your Bloomberg ETF report. I'm Catherine Cowdery.
The ETF report is brought to you by Eaton Vance. The Eaton Vance Atomic Survey tracks the issues that matter most to advisors and investors today. Learn more at eatonvance.com/survey. Eaton Vance Distributors is a member of FINRA and SIPC.
This is Taking Stock with Kathleen Hayes and Michael McKee on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, I got about, we'll call it 10 minutes of trading left on this Friday. And right now, the S&P 500 is off by 53 points. The Dow is off by 428. And here's where it leaves us. You would need to get to 16,481.15 for the Dow, 1,917.73 for the S&P 500 to be in 10% corrections. S&P's at 1981. That's not going to happen. Dow is at 16,548. So it's within striking distance. We'll see what happens over the next few moments. And watching it with us is Jim Paulson. He's chief investment strategist at Wells Capital Management up in Minneapolis. And Jim, you've been relatively sanguine throughout the show about what is happening with the markets. Is that in part because of where you live? I mean, you're not caught up in the Wall Street hysteria, but I'm just wondering how the economy looks, how the country looks from the middle of the country.
Yeah. You know, I think the economy is okay. I even think the global economy is okay, Mike, but I really think the U.S. is. I mean, I think we've had an incredibly severe contraction in the bubble industry oil, and that has really reduced our manufacturing numbers in this country, but it's still mainly concentrated out of the energy industry. Outside of that, boy, everything else looks pretty good. We're growing jobs over 2% a year when the labor supply is only growing at 1%. So that we're dropping the unemployment rate at 1% a year, and we're almost back to 5% unemployment. We got very strong housing market at the current moment across the country. We've got almost all-time record high auto sales at 17 million annual pace. The ISM service sector number just leapt up to 60 reading, which is one of its highest levels in the last couple decades. So, you know, I would argue that the U.S. economy is doing quite well. And if we do find a bottom in oil, and if the dollar falls a little bit and commodity prices bounce, we're going to find manufacturing coming back to life, and the rest of it's doing pretty good to begin with.
Well, Jim, we started this conversation with you saying that you thought that some of the metrics for the market had gotten ahead of themselves.
Right.
Right? And so I think that's one of the reasons you're sanguine, is you were kind of doubtful on you didn't think we'd get to such a high level in the S&P, or that we maybe hit it by mid-year and we're vulnerable for this pullback. And I think that's part of the reason, because in some sense, if we by your view, the economy's doing fine. Maybe the market got ahead of it, but you've got the fundamentals in place, and now you get a market that's readjusted to a point where it's more in line with where the economy is.
I agree with that, Kathleen. Now, I kind of think still we might find ourselves going below 1900 before this correction's over. We may come higher first and end up somewhere down 10 to 15%. From the recent highs before it's over. But, you know, that really puts us in a much better position than going forward again. We will be at that point selling at about 16 times earnings, not close to 19. Gives us a lot of upside valuation room. It also puts you in a better place relative to where interest rates might have to go in this cycle. That is, the 10-year maybe heading ultimately towards the upper threes to four.
So what do you think about this rally? Look at the 10-year, my dear. It's you know, what is it, 204, down, getting close to the bottom of the range.
Yep. Yeah, I agree, but you got to remember the 10-year was at 175 in February. It went up to almost 250, you know, just a couple months ago. I think it's playing a role in the reason we're pulling back, the interest rate pressures sort of biting into very high multiple stocks. My point is, if we're going to lower the multiple and reduce investor sentiment a little bit, I think that puts the market in much better footing then to withstand a Fed tightening and maybe higher yields down the road. But I just felt we couldn't do it from almost trading at 19 times earnings to begin with.
Yeah, we're at 17 and a half right now for the S&P. What level do you think is reasonable to start going the other way?
Well, I don't know. Like, sure. I guess I've kind of looked at that, you know, 1850, 1900 level with, if earnings continue to trend maybe towards $120 share earnings in that ballpark, let's say, even if you want to get conservative and say that's a next year number, that's going to put you, like I say, 16 times, a little less than that, which I think is a reasonable number in a world where core inflation is 2-ish, maybe it could accelerate to 3. That type of multiple would be very supportable. And I think it could also handle a little higher rates. Even if earnings growth you know, are not spectacular, if they're still positive from a 16 multiple, that's good as well. But I just think we need to refresh sentiment. We need to refresh valuation. We need to get rates going up and get off the zero marker. And then I think we're in a better position to sustain the bull.
All righty. Then where do you buy? What industries, what kinds of companies look good to you then?
Well, I like the international markets.
Really?
I do. I think one of the underlying themes we didn't get time to, I think the dollar is going to come down over the next year, not go up. It's already peaked out.
Why is it coming down?
Well, because I think what put strength into the dollar in the first place was the growth gap between the U.S. and foreign economies widened as the U.S. stayed the same and the rest of the world slowed down. I think that stimulus we've dumped on the global system with lower energy prices, lower yields, lower currencies is going to close that growth gap. And when it does, it'll bring a bid to foreign currencies and a sell to the dollar. I think their economies are cheaper because they've underperformed for several years. I think they're in an earlier part of their earnings cycle. We're in the latter part. They're in an earlier part yet with greater earnings leverage that's available. They have hospitable policy officials that are still pushing upward on their financial markets. We're going the other way. So I have a big weighting overseas. In this country right now, I'd have a barbelled approach until this correction gets farther along, I guess. I'd own some of the defensive sectors like staples and utilities, and I'd also start putting money into some of the deeper cyclicals, industrials, materials, and energy stocks. I would own some tech. I would own some financials, but I would be underweight healthcare and consumer discretionary.
Minute left. What would you do right now? Everybody's saying, well, this guy's cheerful and sanguine about the future, but I got money in the market at the moment, and it's disappearing.
Well, I would go on vacation and think about how good you'll feel a year from now if you don't panic and get out of this market.
Invest in Hawaiian cocktails rather than...
Well, you know, I think we do got to go lower, but there's no straight line in the financial markets. I just don't think this is it for the bull market.
So if you were going to lighten up on one thing, what would it be?
I would be lightening up on healthcare, biotech, and consumer discretionary stocks. Is where I would raise capital right now. Some of the most areas that have been the most popular and highest momentum. I would also lighten up on U.S. exposure.
Okay. Well, even though the bull market continues.
we'll see.
All righty. Well, Jim Paulson, we thank you so very much for joining us. He's Chief Investment Officer at Wells Capital Management. Actually, he's Chief Investment Strategist as well as an economist. And he joining us today on the T-Mobile phone line. T-Mobile at work. Switch your business to the Un-carrier today. Let's just give you a quick look at the numbers because they are dramatic. Dow's down 2.9%, 505 points at 1642. The S&P down 3%, 62 points at 1973. The NASDAQ down 3.3%, 161 points at 4715. Benchmark 10, you're up a quarter point. Yields down to 2.04%. This is Bloomberg Radio.